quest to the Sugyas of Yagva Yavor. And I've been reviewing it, but I hope you guys will come out here as Bikim in this topic. And the rule is, again, Bitsina, you have to give your life up for the big three. And then there are two exceptions where you have to give your life up for the other mitzvahs. Two exceptions are Shashmat. If you're in a public arena of 10 men, we'll discuss maybe the parameters of that. Or at the time of Shashmat, which we define what the Shashmat is, you have to give your life up for any the mitzvahs, a mitzvah kala, if it's a kala. What's the example the Gemara gives? The shoe, right? Tying the shoe, wearing the shoe. And the way the Mefarshim, most Mefarshim explain that, because there's a law of you cannot wear the clothing of the Goyim until you violate a lo saseh. So they tell you to do something to violate the lo saseh, deraisa, it's better you give your life up than to violate the law during Shashmad or for Hezer. I spoke to Rashi, who seems to say it's a minhag ba'alma. The question we want to deal with today is that discussion was lo saseh. Right, the Gimel Averos are los ases. You can't. It's all Yarg Vayavra. Get killed or violate the Avera. The lav of Shvichas Damim Gider Ayas of Odezara. What about mitzvahs? What about mitzvahs aseh? So just reading from the Gemara itself, the language of the Gemara is very telling. What would you take out from the Gemara's language? Gemara in Sanhedrin, that is. Mitzvah Kala. Mitzvah Chora, Mitzvah Kala refers to any mitzvah. Who probably picked up on that language? The Rambam. What does Rambam write in Hilchot Yisodei Torah, Perek Hei, Halacha Beis? Very last line. Right? Ela afil lo niskavin la'aviro, ela al mitzvah mishar mitzvos bilvad. Sound like mitzvah seems to include all mitzvahs, bein mitzvahs aseh, bein mitzvahs lo aseh. So even in mitzvahs aseh, a person has to give up their life. And you look in the Ramah, Yardaya Kuf Nun Zayin, Sif Alpha, a very long Sif. But hopefully the Sif, after learning the background, it should really fly pretty quickly for you guys. We spent a lot of time on this. He writes, however, at the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, V'im and the Rama says afil al arkasa de masanya, and he says v'im hu shashmad. Reb Chaba writes afil arkasa de masanya yagva yavur. Comes along the Rama and writes v'dafke im rotin lahaviru b'mitzas lo sase v'im gazu gzeiro shal l'kai mitzas sase sarach l'kaimo v'shiyareog. Sorry. I misread that again. Im gazu gzeira shulakaim mitzvah say ich tzarech lakaim of a shiara. How are you going to give your life? What kind of mitzvah to give up your life? So he says, therefore, the din of shara averos only applies to lo sase. But mitzvah say, better you not perform the mitzvah and stay alive. The Ramah seems to go against the Rambam, seems to go against the Pashtus of the Gemara, Mitzvah Kala. What we'll do today is go through some of the Gemara and the Rishonim. The Grari points out this is a discussion rooted in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Tesman Al, a very interesting Gemara. See, so the Gemara Mem Tesman Al tells us, Rabbiana quotes, that tefillin require a gufnaki. You need a clean body. That's why nowadays most people are not able to wear tefillin all day. Nenzel doesn't, I heard, doesn't wear tefillin anymore. He's just very too old for that. But Chizkia wears tefillin. A lot of people, not a lot, but there are those who still wear tefillin. But it's very, very difficult to have a gufnaki. So you need a gufnaki like Elisha Baal Kanfayim. Elisha Baal Kanfayim. What does Baal Kanfayim mean? Mahi. So first Gemara explains why. What do you mean to gufnaki? Shal yafiach, shal yishambem. Then Gemara wants to know why does he have this name, Baal Kanafayim. Gemara tells a story. One time, the Malchus Rome were goes there, gzera on Yisrael, shashmad. It was a gzera al Yisrael. It was only on Yisrael, and it was for the entire Yisrael. Shashmad has to be. It can't be for the entire world. That's achashverosh. That's not shashmad. And it can't be for one or two individuals. That's not Shashmat. It has to be on only all Klal Yisrael and all of Klal Yisrael. So it seems to fit the bill here. And Shekol Meniach Tefillin, Yinakros Mocha. Anybody wears tefillin, we're going to remove your brain. Vaya Elisha Manicham. Nonetheless, Elisha decided to wear them. Vyote Lashek, he walked outside with them. Ra'o Kazdeach, one of these governors or the people working, the officers saw him. Rats Mifanav Rotachav, they're chasing down Elisha. Vechemin Shegiyat Tlo, once he caught up to Elisha, Notla Mirosha, he took them off his head, but Ochsum Biyado, he held them in his hand. Amarlo Mazebiyadech, what are you holding? Amarlo Kanfei Yonah, the wings of a Yonah. Pasha Yado, Nimsa Kanfei Yonah, Mamish magic here going on. Fikach Koro Notla Elisha, Balkanafan, that's why he got the name. And where I was, why Dafka Yonah? Because Klal Yisrael is connected Yonah. The wings protect the Yonah, so too mitzvos maginos alem. So too the mitzvos protect Klal Yisrael. As an aside, I saw yesterday that I was learning the dinim of using salt for bread. And many Rishonim say you only have to use salt for bread if the bread is a very dry type of bread. Not dry, literally, but in dry in taste, not in moisture-wise. But if it's a spiced type of bread or it's flavoring in it, you don't need salt. However, others say, no, you should always have salt. Why should you have salt? Because the Yerushalmi writes, if the satan is a time of eating, I guess it's a dangerous time, you can always choke on something, so the satan is there ready to pounce on you, and you have no mitzvahs with you. So you put salt on the table, you're mekayim the mitzvah of salt. What's the mitzvah of salt? Based on a pasuk in Vayikra, that every carbon has to have salt sprinkled on it. So that mitzvah, that idea, we're trying to model our shulchan, our table after the mizbech. So we have the melach, the salt there, that mitzvah, that protects us from the satan. So mitzvahs maginos, we get protected by mitzvahs. The honey?
The carbonos never had honey, so we have honey on our
shana. So how do we get that? It's a good question. I mean, when we have honey, we use honey, we don't use salt. So the fact that the Shulchan Aruch does paskin, it's a good, very, very good question for this. Shulchan Aruch paskin, do you need salt or some other dip? Now, in terms of the Yerushalmi, maybe that's a great point. Maybe the Yerushalmi says dafka salt. Good thing, I'll look into that. Very good. So maybe Rosh Hashanah, we should have honey and salt. They don't really go well together.
But if you're telling Shulchan Aruch bath, now we'll have honey on it.
That's also a good kasha. You shouldn't even have honey. Yeah. Let alone have both. Don't even have it. Yeah, I see you say karbanos every morning.
I try to.
Okay, good. All right, well, you see, you know it well. It's a good kasha. I'll look into that. I wonder if the mekubam do not have honey on Bashana, though there's an idea in, we're getting a little Kabbalistic now. There's an idea in Kabbalah as follows. I'll tell you something I'm very interested in. There's seven mashkim. It's completely off topic, but the seven mashkim, there's seven liquids. Seven liquids that, in order for a fruit or a type of food to become tameh, we discussed this last year in Sukkah a little bit. So when it comes, I also have a number of my Mechshav Ashirim, I've mentioned this. So once it becomes detached from the tree, let's say an apple, so it has to become huchshel tumah, has to be ready for tumah. Well, how do you become huchshel tumah? How does a fruit become susceptible to tumah? Has to come into contact with the seven mashkim. It's based on last week's parsha, actually. The last week's parasha? No, 2 weeks ago. No, last week's Shemini. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Shemini. And there's actually Machlokas. Why does it have to get wet first? You remember the Chinuch and the Ramban? The two reasons why it has to get wet? It has to get wet because just like something that's dirty, physically dirty, if it's wet, it becomes dirtier. If like an apple, dry apple falls on the floor, not a big deal. A wet apple falls on the floor, it gets much dirtier. It's very, in similar ways, so too, that's how a spiritual tumah works, or the chinuch says, you need to have a complete a pre. The pre is now once you wash it, you've completed the fruit. Now that's the final process. Now it's complete fruit, and now it's once it's complete, it could be susceptible to tumah. Big machlokas Yerushalmi, they're nafkamina. Okay, completely off the side. So anyway, so it has to come into contact seven liquids, and each liquid corresponds to a different month. A different holiday of the year. So some obvious ones are Sukkot is water. We pray for the water, Mayim. Comes to Hanukkah,
Shemen.
Comes to Pesach. I'll do Purim. Comes to Purim.
Wine.
Pesach. Dam. Shavuos.
Milk.
Yom Kippur.
Nothing.
Tal. I think. And Rosh Hashanah Dvash. So, Kabbalistically speaking, there's a very strong connection with Dvash Rosh Hashanah. Has it stim with his Yerushalmi? Not sure. Okay. Back to our Gemara, though. We see from here, Elisha decided to wear tefillin even though there's a gzeir not. He put his life in danger. They said, you can't wear tefillin. They said, basically, if you do, I'm going to kill you. Yag va yavor. So according to the Rambam Paskins, so he did the right thing. Chor Elisha did the right thing. So there's a Tosos here. Which is towards about. Thank you. Tosos says, even though the Gemara says Dibshas Gzeira Malchus Afil Mitzakala Yagva Yavur, when it comes to Mitzakala, you're supposed to give your life up. That's only a case that Shinu Arkasa Misnoi Kovi Kochavim. That's only that example is only something that's similar to what the Goyim do. It's only something that's going to remove you from Klal Yisrael. Only a type of clothing that will make you look like a goy. That's only the, not all mitzvah kalas, only that particular type of mitzvah kala. But here in our case, ain't also klum ela she'ain lo tefillin. Berosha shorachas v'har be'yisol she'ain lem tefillin kamoso. And the many others also. Who? So the what's the implicit question of the Tosos? Tosos wants to know why he take them off. He should have left them on. So he says, it's not every mitzvah across the board. It's a b'chiddush Tosfos. It's only certain mitzvahs that will make you look like a goy. Not wearing tefillin doesn't make you look like a goy. Many members, first of all, not everybody wore it. You could wear it for an hour and then you're yotzei. And many of Klal Yisrael don't wear it all day long. So it doesn't make you look like a goy if you're not wearing tefillin. So that's why you took it off. You didn't have to put your life in danger for this mitzvah. Only mitzvahs that make you look like goyim do you have to do. That's a b'chiddush Tosfos. Now, let's look at the Rishonim. What the Rishonim say in this very same question. The Ramban, so again, that's just good to know in terms of the scope of what's mitzvah kala. Yeah, the Ramban offers two reasons. What is a Ramban, right? Anybody see the Ramban? Okay, so that's one answer he says, right? He raises the very same question. Where'd this line go?
He says you could also be Moser Nefesh if you want.
That's also a good point that I know Jerry was also going to a lot. We'll speak about that as an aside. So he writes, Hani mili la'avua mitzvah lo saseh. The Gemara in Sanhedrin that you have to give your life up even for any mitzvah that's talking about a lo saseh. A vow. Im godru lebatil mitzvah saseh. When it comes to mitzvah asay, it's a better person not actively do the mitzvah asay and rather not get killed. The shave al tase shiny. Sitting back doing nothing is different. What's the second answer he gives? Oh, he writes, Shayu yichol in levatel karcho. Not in the Ramban. Oh, maybe you're right. Okay, fine. So first, he says, before that even, Shein yichol levat al karcho. They could, against your will, just throw you into a jail. So it's like, you doing it is not gonna, won't be effective. You're not gonna accomplish anything because they could just throw you in jail. So... So why'd he do it then? If he didn't have to, why'd he do it? So this is the big Ramban that the Ramban says he thought either he could get out of it. He could do it anyways without being caught. Or one's allowed to give the life up to violate, even though they don't have to, they're allowed to give their life up. But from the Ramban, are you allowed to give your life up for any mitzvah that they tell you not to do?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Does it? What was Shimi saying before?
Only if it's going to help.
No. What did you say before, Shimi?
Only if you're malchus.
Right. Only particular types of mitzvah, like tefillin. Listen to the Lashon. Sheyamas Moshe Atzma L'misa Shlo Levatel Me'ala Malchus Shemayim.
Isn't that all mitzvahs, though?
No, maybe not. Tefillin is unique.
By all the other mitzvahs, you're not being mekabel all Malchus Shemayim?
Not in the way of wearing tefillin. Tefillin, someone who doesn't wear tefillin, one of the things that you might be cut off from doing from tshuva. A person who doesn't wear tefillin, it might be unique in that way. You're saying, oh no, he means just in general. He didn't. You know, I was reading it as more particularly when it comes to tefillin. Tefillin itself, wearing tefillin is a showing of Olmel Cheshmaim. That you that you wearing the tefillin Shema Vayim Shema. We talk about Kabbalah Olmel Cheshmaim, Kabbalah Olmel Mitzvahs. I think it's tefillin is unique, and any other mitzvah that may fall under that category of accepting the Ol of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But it doesn't necessarily mean all mitzvahs. So it comes out of here, it's a few things. I know there's a lot of different things we're trying to organize what's going on here.
So one, why mitzvahs lo tase? That's not being recovered.
Why mitzvahs lo tase? No, that's a din. That's something else, right. All lo tase is to give your life up. What mitzvahs tase? So mitzvahs tase, you don't have to give your life up. Why? Either because it's shevi al tase. You didn't do a maisa, better sit back and not do anything. Or because even if you try to do the mitzvah, they could always hold you back and just throw you in jail. You can't do anything. Then he writes, but if you want, why did Elisha do it? Because he wanted to be machmir, and a person can be machmir to give his life up. But only for mitzvahs that have something to do with Kabbalah Olmel Cheshmaim. Or he says, you can't give your life up. It was just he thought he could get out of it without being caught.
So he basically gets all
the exactly. Exactly. So let's talk for a second. The question of... actually, let's look at the other Rishon, and then we'll try to organize the different questions. But that's what we get from the Ramban. Now, let's move to the Rajba. The first answer, so this is very, very interesting, something the Rajba adds. The Rajba gives the answer to the Ramban, that when it comes to the mitzvahs aseh, you do not have to give your life up. He says, aval b'mitzvahs aseh lo, d'shevi al tasseh, shiny... Anyone pick up on this? De lo mucha milsa. It's very key line. De lo mucha, it's not apparent as to what he's doing. Meaning, we'll contrast it to another language in the Rishon, and we'll see there's going to be a big nafkamina actually. Hold on a second. I mean, it sounds right here, this Sefer, B'chol Nafsho, this talks about that line of the Rajba. Ramban sounds like there's no obligation to give your life up for mitzvah zaseh. The mitzvah only applies to mitzvah lo zaseh, not mitzvah zaseh. Rajba says that there's a reason why mitzvah zaseh, because it's not clear as to what he's doing. What does that mean? What's the case? The guy tells him, you can't wear tefillin anymore. So let's say he wears tefillin. Is that really showing? Is that going to be an element of Kiddush Hashem? I mean, is he doing it because the guy told him not to do it? Let's say it comes to Shvichas Dam. That guy says, kill this person or I'll kill you. So I'm not killing him. So, well, I'm trying to get it clear myself now. Let's say the other way around. If a person does not wear it, let's say if a person does not wear it, tefillin, is that clear that he's being mechal Hashem? Not at all.
No, because he could have worn it earlier.
But it's just like from a non-action, it doesn't create a chil Hashem. If a person were to kill someone, that would create a chil Hashem. But if he would not wear tefillin, that would not create a chil Hashem. Dulo mucha milsa. So there's an afkamina being, let's say, the thinks of a case as follows. The following is an afkamina between the Ramban and the Rajba. Pay attention to now. A guy is wearing dal kanfos. He's wearing the beged, but no tzitzis on. And then the goy comes up to him and says, you cannot put tzitzis on. So... you shouldn't wear tzitzis, because when it comes to mitzvah asay, so you don't violate you're allowed to violate the mitzvah asay. Now, would that really be true in this case for both? The Ramban, for sure. The Ramban says all mitzvah asay, you never give your life up. That was the rule. You never give your life up for mitzvah asay. The Rajba says you only don't give your life up when it's not muchach milsa. But here in this case, I'm going to be walking around with dal kanfos, without tzitzis, and it's clearly showing that I'm violating the mitzvah asay of not wearing tzitzis. I'm like, so in this case, Rashba would say you should put tzitzis on, and you should give your life up to put tzitzis on. Everyone hear me? It's a subtle point. Everyone hear me on that point? If a subtle point, would have to, because if you don't, it's going to be muchach. It's going to be clear. It's going to be a chil Hashem. Rashba writes the lo muchach milsa. It's all about the people seeing it and being aware of it. as opposed to the Ramban, just across the board. When it comes to Shevi Al-Tasa, then you don't violate the mitzvah. I mean, sorry, you can violate the mitzvah. Okay, that's point one. Now the Rashba goes on to say, he asks the same question, so how was Elisha, if you don't have to give your life up for a mitzvah, I say, how was Elisha allowed to? He says, even though a person doesn't have to, Rashai limsur nafsho alea umikabaschar. A person's allowed to. Shekol mitzvah shemasul yisrael nafsham b'shas shmar muchzekes biyodim v'mkablan alea schar harbe. We know that during shas shmar, a person is moser nefesh, the schar is even greater.
Sounds like he's encouraged.
Interesting. He says Rashai. From that language of Schar Harbe, you might want to. I'm not sure if he's encouraging, but the reward's great, but I'm not sure if he's pushing you. But maybe he is. I hear that point. Now, right now, so we have, in terms of the question of, I know we're two different topics intertwined here, can a person give their life up for something they don't have to? Is one person allowed to? Three shittas right now. Is a person allowed to give their life up for something that they're not obligated to? Yeah.
Which sheet did we just do before?
Ramban.
Ramban says, is he the one that says, how can
you?
I don't stop
Ramban. Who says? Ramban says you could, but not for all of the mitzvahs.
Only for all my Hashemite.
Exactly.
And I said.
Okay. And what about the Rajba?
Rajba says
across the board, always. And what about the Rambam? Right. Yeah, so come down as follows. Ramam says you can't. And if you do, you're Meschai B'Nafsho. Now, we don't know what that means, really. The guy kills himself, gets himself killed. He's Meschai B'Nafsho. He's already dead. Something to do, I guess, in Shemaim. So Ramam says you cannot. Rashba says you always can. Greater Schar. And then Ramban's in the middle. Only for the mitzvahs that have Olma Chushemaim. Interesting three ranges here. Okay, that's right. And the footnote here, Jerry pointed out, Footnote 60 has a whole long discussion about this issue. I'm not sure if they're mechalik. They point out this Ramban, who seems to have this middle opinion here. Now the Ritva. Is this the Ritva I wanted? I'm trying to remember. I wrote just Stam Ritva, right? Okay. The Ritva says, why did he, so same question, why did Elisha take off his tefillin? So he writes, the whole mitzvah tefillin b'chiv Torah ain't el b'shash m'kabel of ol mochus shemaim. L'aniach kol yom hu midas chasidus. Similar to what the Rambam is saying, but when is the mitzvah of tefillin? When you die, when you say Shema. It's actually a big discussion what to do on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av morning, we say Shema, and we're Yotzim Shema. At the same time, we don't wear tefillin. And the Gemara says, anybody who says Shema, exactly, Shema without tefillin, is a desheker. And you're not wearing them? On Shabbos, okay, we have this Os on Shabbos, so somehow we're Mekayim, we are to an extent wearing it, or we're exempt from Shabbos. But during the week, how could I possibly say Shema and not wear tefillin on? It's Eid HaSheker. So that's the din on Tisha B'Av. So what happens in the Mincha time? We wear tefillin. So now we want to be Mekayim that din of Shema with tefillin on. But what's the problem? What? What's the machlokas actually? Why you should say Shema, because you want to be yotzei that din of wearing tefillin and Shema together, which you missed out Shacharis. Zman pass, and therefore what? Now, so what? Machai, but still, I could say Shema and wear tefillin. What? No Eidus? Why no Eidus?
It's not the right time.
The din is, what after this man Shema, when you say Shema, what's it? Is it tefillah? It's Torah. You can't learn Tisha B'Av. You can't learn. So it's being machok is posing what to do. Which is better? Is it tefillah Talmud Torah worse? Therefore, we better not to say Shema and just wear tefillin without it? Or no, better to be kind of the din of Eidus and do away with the Torah? So, that is a discussion. I think Mishabur talks about this.
What do we do?
Most people don't say Shema. I think the Mishnah Berurah paskens that way. I don't remember though. Anyway, so he says to wear it all day is mitzvah chasidus. So you're right. The Rajba seems to imply really a person should give his life up even for mitzvah sase, like the Rambam and the Gemara sounds. But tefillin's different because he already was mekayim the mitzvah. He was just doing mitzvah chasidus. Mitzvah chasidus can't.
Is that a minhag ba'olam?
What do you mean minhag ba'olam?
Like where does mitzvah chasidus fit in? Like, Rashi, like what would he say?
In terms of wearing tefillin all day,
yeah. No, giving up your life for.
So that question. So, is there anyone who's going to say even mitzvah chasidus you should give up your life? That's a good question. So let's say. The idea of wearing tefillin all day, the Ritva writes, is called midas chasidus. So,
do we have machlokas around midas chasidus in the area? Something
similar, that was a different. That was a different issue. This is the.
Oh, I thought it was about giving up your life for midas chasidus.
No, it was. It was that Shaila was. Is there midas chasidus to give your life up? This right. Question we're talking about. But he thought, let's say the mitzvah itself is only midas chasidus. It's a secondary level. It's not the obligation. You already mekayim the base chiyuv. For additional midas chasidus, is there a inyan to give your life up? So, first of all, it comes to mitzvah sase. Everyone seems to have said, most people say not. But let's say the Rambam. Will the Rambam possibly say, for midas chasidus, you should give your life up? Ritva says not. So first you have to understand what is the nature of the chiyuv of wearing tefillin all day. I'm not that familiar with it. I would assume it's only midas chasidus. I can't imagine it's better, but it might be. It might be really a chiv to wear it all day. I just don't know. But let's say it's only midas chasidus. Would the Rambam say, even for a midas chasidus, which is not a chiv, but I assume there's a key mitzvah involved? So it's a key mitzvah. L'chor, maybe you should give your life up. That's an interesting point. I don't know. Interesting point to raise. Then he quotes the story of Daniel, who was Moser Nefesh for davening. That was the Fnim Mishur Sadin he did. He didn't have to give up for davening. The media is the Fnim Mishur Sadin. So that's the basic discussion when it comes to Mitzvah Aseh. The Rambam and Pashas Gemara on one hand. The Ritva seems to also on that same side, you're supposed to give your life up. On the other hand, we have many of the Rishonim who say, no, you don't give your life up for Mitzvah Aseh, either because it's a Sheviat Aseh, which is kind of like the Svar of Karka Olam. Karka Olam means, why was Esther, why didn't she have to give her life up? Because Karka Olam, because she didn't do a Maisa. So when you don't do Maisa, then you don't have to. Or because they're going to force you into it anyways, which is also, some explain, that's Karka Olam. Karka Olam was, even if Esther was doing a Maisa, Karka Olam means she would be forced to do it anyways. Which is two, these two Rishonim answers are really two ways to explain Karka Olam, what it means. Again, does Karka Olam mean, we'll hopefully get, maybe tomorrow, today's Wednesday, maybe Sunday we'll do the Karka Olam Sugya. And then we point out the Rajba and the Ramban's formulation, Rashi had this added lashon of lo mucha milsa. It wasn't clear, it's about the perception. As opposed to the Ramban, others say, no, it's straight across the board. So that we saw there's an afkamina between the cases of Dalad Kanfos. Now one other issue I wanted to talk about is... two other issues, actually. The Pischei Tshuva just throws another nafkamina out. Let's say there's a lav that has a Shevi Al-Tasa type of lav, a Kumbi Aseh. When we say lav, is it every single lav across the board? There's certain lavim that you have to violate, you do it actively, and certain lavim, by not doing anything, you violate a lav. So he just throws it out there, a non-action, a Shevi Al-Tasa type of lav, that you give your life up for that. That's something he throws out there. What's really interesting is on the side, the Gilyan Marasha has the following suffix. Do we include, when you count the 10 people, we're talking about Farhesia right now, so what's Farhesia? What's considered a public arena? The Gemara tells us you need 10 Jews. Goyim don't work. 9 and 1 doesn't work. You need 10 Jews. So what about 9 plus the guy who's being forced into giving his life up? And this guy ultimately has to give his life up. If it's 10, right, he's doing calculation. If you only count those 9 people, I could stay alive. I don't have to give my life up. But if I'm included in the count, it's 10, I have to give my life up. But if I give my life up, so then it only be 9 people who actually witnessed the murder. So it's only really 9 people who saw it, not 10 people. So what does he do? So this is a suffix the Tshuvas deal with. Yeah, I think Pasha, we include him, don't we?
Like, we only have 9 others.
Yeah, I think it's partially include the chaz in there. It comes up for, in terms of avelus and chaz mekala. Do we include? You need 9 people for the brachas. Do you include the chaz mekala for those? So, very lamdish question here. So you discuss what's the suffix, whether we include the person himself or not. So he quotes this, Gili Marasha quotes from the Tshuvos Dvar Shmuel. So he's noted to say, well, since the Kedusha, the Kiddush Hashem occurs at a moment of death, and the person who dies obviously doesn't witness his own death, so Lechora, you're not going to include the guy himself who's getting killed. What's the reason to think, the Minchas Chinuch says this also, what's the reason to think you should include the 10th guy? The guy himself who's being killed as the 10th person?
Because the fact that he is giving himself over, not like that he gives himself over, that he will give himself over.
Ah, so that's Hesber will say in a second, so I'll say that afterwards. So what Minchas Chinuch writes is, because if he doesn't give his life up, and he violates Avera, that's going to be a Chil Hashem for Vesya. So do you go based on the Chil Hashem, or do you go based on the Kiddush Hashem? If it's Chil Hashem, so 10 people witness this Chil Hashem. If you go based on the Kiddush Hashem, so only 9 people witnessed it. So what's the Iker? Is it the Chil Hashem, the Kiddush Hashem? It's a very tough answer, tough question to answer. Now, what John is saying is something that the footnote himself is being Mechadish. What moment's the Kiddush Hashem? Is it when I say, when I actually die, that's when the Kiddush Hashem happens? Or when I say, when you stand strong, I say, I'm not violating the Avera. Do what you want with me, I'm not violating the Avera. Is that the Kiddush Hashem? So if the latter is the Kiddush Hashem, where he's willing to stay strong, 10 people witness that. Mamash Kiddush Hashem. Or if it's the actual Misa, then you wouldn't include him. Very, very good. Now, just one last point. In terms of Farhesia, people mentioned this in the past. What's considered public? Is public when 10 people actually witness what's going on? Or 10 people are aware what is going on? So there's Iran and many other poskim, Acharim, who say it's clearly based on people's awareness, because the story of Esther and Ahasuerus was not 10 people watching. Everyone knew what was going on. So too, any other case, there are some Acharim who want to say, no, it's Dafka if you see it. If you see them walking to it, that's enough. So passages we chumrah that if 10 people are aware of what's going on, that counts as public, and therefore a person has to give their life up.
So if a video is taken, then you could show it to the world, and it would be a Hashem.
Right. So I guess the question is: do people have to know about before the act or after the Misa? I guess even if people are going to find out about after, post facto, that would also constitute as public, I think. That would create a Kiddush or Chil Hashem. So that really concludes our discussion of Mitzvah Kala.
Women.
So that'll be another topic we'll do, is who is included in this? So men and women, Avadim, Ketanim. So we'll say that for another time. But this at least concludes the discussion of what's considered Mitzvah Kala. We define what's public. We define that what's Shas Shmad. We discuss the Gimel Averos. So what's left to do is who else has to give their life up? We have to deal with Karka Olam. We haven't discussed Karka Olam yet. Rambam's sheet is very important, and there's a Reb Chaim there. We also have to ask what other areas beyond the Gimel Averos, what else included under those topics? We already discussed the Avodah Zarah. What's considered Avodah Zarah? What about the case of, we may reference this, embarrassing someone in public. It's compared to Shvichas Damim. A variety of other types of things. Lashon Hara, Lifnei Iver. We mentioned Lifnei Iver a little bit. So we'll discuss the scope of these things as well.
Are there also